Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you from Kenya. We thank the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for this radio broadcast. Last week, we started a series that I'm calling Prophetic Alert because I have a burden in my spirit that there are difficult times coming, and not just difficult in the usual difficulty that we have here in America, the usual trials and tribulations, but I'm speaking of war. I'm speaking of a conflict that's going to be a conflict that will drag many, many nations of the earth into it, and that conflict will lead to a lot of bloodshed, a lot of destruction, serious dislocation of people, serious dislocation of people's lifestyles, calamity and chaos, and all the accompanying confusion that goes with that type of thing. And so this is not an easy message for me. This is a difficult message, and I know it's going to be a difficult message for you to receive. And some of you will not receive it. Some of you will reject it, and that's your privilege. That's your right. But for those who have wisdom, let the ears be open to hear what the Spirit has to say today. For those who have the wisdom to receive, start making preparations, not just physically, but spiritually, for very difficult times, because we are on the horizon of a great calamity here on this earth. I don't say that lightly. I've been praying about this for many years, and we are on the horizon of a difficult situation that is going to test our faith, it's going to test our material resources, it's going to test our ability to care for each other, to love each other, and to provide for each other. And what I'm speaking of is, I believe the Lord has shown me there's great calamity coming from a world war that's being set up. Just recently, Iran has spoken that they want the West out of the Suez Canal and the Mideast region. They don't want the nations of the West to guard their ships as they go in passage through those places, guarding the oil supplies. And so there's a showdown that is being set, the table is being set. And just recently, a week ago, 2 weeks ago now, Iran sent missiles into Saudi Arabia and destroyed 50% of the oil producing capacity, at least for a limited time basis anyway, 50% of the oil-producing capacity of Saudi Arabia. And so the players are taking their positions. The armies of the earth are taking their positions. And so it's going to be a setup, and the stage is set for a calamity here on this earth. Well, God started to show me about this about 15 years ago when he gave me many prophetic dreams and visions, and I wrote those into a book called Prophecies for America. You can get that book on Amazon.com, or you can order it from our ministry. There'll be contact information at the end of this broadcast, but I suggest you get a copy of this book. Read it. Take to heart these prophecies, take to heart the dreams the Lord has given his servant. It's not about me. It's not about me boasting or thinking that I'm anything special. In fact, I had no desire to be a prophet or to receive any prophetic dreams. God just started to download them to me. And so that is my cross to bear here on this earth. Well, the judgment of God is a real thing. God is a loving God. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He is a God that can look the other way and, in a way, allow us to continue in our wicked ways. It's not that he doesn't record it. It's not that he doesn't see it, but he gives us great mercy. He gives us grace to come to him, to repent, to turn from our wicked ways. But when we don't, eventually judgment is going to come, not just on an individual basis, but also on a nation basis. And all through the Bible, we see that judgment comes when people turn their hearts away from the Lord and they turn to their wicked ways and to their idols. Well, I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah because Jeremiah is the prophet who speaks of judgment on the nation of Israel. And so there are many parallels to what was happening in Israel of that day and what we see happening here in the United States. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 4 and 5. Jeremiah says, "Because they have forsaken me," he's speaking for the Lord here, "because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter." And so God is saying that it never came into his mind that they would sacrifice their children to their pagan gods and burn incense to Baal and burn their sons with fire in their burnt offerings to Baal. And so God is saying, "I'm going to make this place a valley of slaughter. I'm going to bring judgment on this place." And you might say, "Well, Jim, how does that relate to the United States of America? We're not burning offerings to Baal. We're not setting up high places and burning our children." Well, beloved, yes, we are. The aborted children of America, 60 million to this day, to this date, 60 million have been aborted since 1973. That's an estimate. Maybe more than that, maybe less, but I doubt it's probably much more. They have been in the incinerators of the hospitals and the clinics all around America. They are in the trash heaps and the landfills all around America. And the blood of the innocents is crying out to the Lord. The blood of the innocents, the shed blood of those murdered in the womb, are crying out to the Lord, and the Lord is saying, "I cannot take it any longer. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming." And the Lord has tried to get the attention of the American people. The Lord has tried to help the people straighten out the politics of abortion, help the American people straighten out the politics of funding organizations that facilitate and encourage abortion. And yet the dull ears of the people of America continue to fight for this bloodthirsty situation. They continue to fight for the bloodletting of the innocents. And God says, "Enough is enough is enough." And so the Lord says, "Behold, the days are coming when these valleys in America will be called the Valley of Slaughter." Well, Jeremiah 15:1, "Even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, says the Lord, my mind would not be favorable toward these people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it shall be, if they say to you, 'Where shall we go?' then you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord, such as are to death, to death, and such as are to the sword, to the sword, and such as are for the famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four forms of destruction, says the Lord. I will hand them over to trouble, to all the kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem." Well, if you know your history of the Old Testament, the kings of Judah, the kings of Israel, they were very wicked, most of them, not all of them. There were some good kings, but Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, Hezekiah was a king who repented, and the Lord gave him 15 additional years to his life because of his repentance, because of his turning to the Lord. And Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, then, or king of Judah, and he was more wicked than all the kings before him. He was a very wicked king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so the Lord said, because of what Manasseh did, for what he did in Jerusalem, I'm going to hand them over to trouble. Well, beloved, the U.S. has been given reprieve over and over. We've had good presidents, we've had some bad presidents, we've had some in between, but over and over the Lord has given us reprieve. He's given us mercy, he's given us grace, but he is now saying the time for judgment is drawing very close, and the time for judgment has come. And the Lord says, one of the ways I'm going to bring judgment, just as he did in the time of Jeremiah, he is going to bring famine upon the land here in the United States of America. And you may say, well, that just sounds really crazy. You go into any grocery store, any place in America, and the shelves are stocked with food, and there's no shortage of abundance. You can go to any restaurant and the plates are big, the portions are big. They even throw away a lot of food. And you can go for seconds at any buffet line in America and thirds or whatever you want to do. And so you say, well, how can there be famine in America? Beloved, it can happen. Anything can happen. When the food chain breaks, anything can happen. And the links in the food chain in America are very vulnerable to breaking because there's so much food that is shipped for hundreds and even thousands of miles. And so it is not a very sustainable system. Even in good times, it takes a lot of coordinated effort, a lot of energy, as in petrol fuel and that type of energy to move the food around. It is not a very sustainable or efficient system. And in the book that I've written, Prophecies for America, the Lord showed me that the food supply is going to break. On page 19, scene 2 of the dream, and the dream I spoke about last week was the dream of the black horse of Revelation chapter 6, verse 5, the black horse of famine. And so this is part 2 of that dream. In scene 2 of the dream, I was standing in front of a dough roller similar to the kind seen in pizza parlors all over America. As the dough was going through the roller, I was pulling out a long chain of it as if getting ready to make a huge pizza crust. Suddenly, the dough chain began to break into pieces and fall to the ground. I reached forward to catch it, but could not keep it from falling in front of me. I was frantic to stop it from breaking and falling, but could not. The Lord was showing me that the food supply chain was going to break and no one was going to be able to stop it. Anyone who knows about the supply chain in America knows about the vulnerable links. The chain all hinges on food being trucked from thousands of miles away in places such as California, Mexico, and Central America. Each grocery store is stocked on a day-by-day basis, predicated on just-in-time delivery. If any drought, famine, or calamity would happen to strike, the stores would quickly run out of food, and people who don't have any stored up would be starving in just a short time. Now, part 3 of the dream was an elaboration of the second part. A group of people were in the milling building at my farm in Kansas where I have a flour mill. We were standing around the mill watching it grind wheat flour, blow it up into a flour sifter, and drop the finished flour into a bag ready to be sold or used for baking bread. The Lord was showing me that local food production, whether for flour or any other commodity, would be the antidote to famine and the breaking of the food chain. The closer to home the food supply, the more reliable it will be in times of breakdown and calamity. Well, the curious thing is now that I'm in Africa, I see how a truly sustainable local food supply operates, and it's really a beautiful thing here in Africa. All the food, nearly all the food, comes from within a 10-mile radius of whatever village or city you are living in. The chicken is fresh, the milk is fresh, the vegetables are fresh, the meat is fresh. Everything comes from a local place. The only thing I see that isn't produced locally here is sugar, which comes from Uganda, a neighboring country, most of it in this western region of Kenya comes from Uganda, although there is some sugar produced here in western Kenya, and also wheat flour comes from a couple hours away, about 3 hours away, over in the Rift Valley. But for the most part, the food is very local, it is very fresh, comes within a day or so of its picking or its harvesting off the farms. And so this is truly a sustainable food supply, and very, very little of it requires any refrigeration. Very little of it requires freezing. Very little of it requires canning or putting in boxes so it can be shipped. And so this is a sustainable food supply. Well, in the book of Genesis, the Lord talks about the sanctity of the human life. And in Genesis 1:26, we talked about this last week. The Lord said, "Let us make man in our image." The Lord and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were in heaven, and they said, "Let us make man in our image. In the image we made man, and let him be fruitful and multiply on the face of the earth," and we're giving him dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and all the creeping things on the earth. And so every single person, born or unborn, is born and created in the image of God. They're given creative attributes, unique callings, and a destiny that is unique to that individual. And so when we take it into our hands to abort that individual, abort that baby, then the destiny not only of that person has been destroyed, but it also affects the destiny of the whole nation. The prophetic destiny of the nation has been altered over the last 60 years in a very dramatic way. And now we are at the crossroads. And the Lord says, "Turn from your wicked ways, America. Turn back to me. Turn from your idols. Turn from making sacrifices to idols." The Lord says to me, "Give them a warning. If you warn them and they turn from their wicked ways, then you have removed the blood from your own head and from your own hands. But if you do not warn them, then the burden for their iniquity, the burden for their sin, the burden for their unrighteousness then falls upon me, because I did not give them the warning that God asked me to give." In Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, this is when God is making a covenant with Noah after the flood. God says to Noah, "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning," that is an accounting. "From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man." In other words, when we take our brother's life, then we have to give in exchange a life for that brother. When we take the life blood of a person, we have to give in exchange the lifeblood of a person. Verse 6, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I shall establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And so God gave us the rainbow as a sign of that covenant with Noah. We still see rainbows today as a reminder that God has a covenant with us, that there will be seed time and harvest. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. And we thank God for that, because we don't deserve the days that we have. We don't deserve the harvest that we have, but because of God's great mercy and his love for us and his benevolence toward us, we have a promise from God that these things, as long as the earth remains, these things shall be given to us. But back to verse 6 again, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Well, I ask you, beloved, how are we going to pay for the shed blood of 60 million innocent babies that have been sacrificed in the womb? Who is going to make the payment? Who is going to present that payment to God when he presents the bill to us? And how will we be able to pay for the shed blood of 60 million innocent babies? Because God says, when you shed the blood by those who shed it, the payment must come. Well, I'm going to read from Psalm 106, and this is a narrative of the Old Testament, the children of Israel, a narrative of the times of the Old Testament when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, and God is saying, this is the reason why I put them out there. This is the reason why I was angry with them, why my wrath came down upon them. And this is also a parallel to what I see happening here in America, the very same thing. We are the children of God. God gave us this great nation. Our money says, in God we trust. Our documents all make reference to the mighty God we serve, God who instituted the United States of America. In Psalm 106, verse 34, after the children came into the land of Canaan, God says, they did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Well, beloved, that is what I see happening on the horizon. I believe that those that hate America in some respects are going to be ruling over us. I see bloodshed coming in ways that we have not seen it in many, many years, probably since World War II. I see bloodshed coming, and I see destruction and chaos coming. And God has been merciful to us. He has tried to get our attention. He's tried to wake us and shake us, but to no avail. There's a hue and a cry here in America for the blood of the innocents, not just through abortion, but in other ways. And there's a turning of people away from God. There's a turning towards idols and a sacrifice of the blood towards demon gods. And God is saying, enough is enough is enough. Well, beloved, as I said before, this is not an easy message. There's a light in the darkness, however, that is Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you come to him today. I pray that you seek him, get down on your knees, repent of your wicked ways. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Ask the Lord to save you. He will be faithful and true. For with your heart you believe, resulting in righteousness, and with your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. Follow it up with Christian baptism. Get into a good church that reads the Bible, studies the Bible, preaches out of the Bible, and continue in your Christian walk. And beloved, you will be walking in the light in the midst of a dark, dark land. Well, thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.